I'm sure the majority of you are here this evening to hear about the community center plans. And because our meeting is relatively short, other than that item, I'd like to ask that the public comment in this first session be related to items not about the community center, because I have a feeling once you hear the presentations, many of your questions may be asked, or you may ask different questions based on what you hear this evening. So the first session of public comment, you're welcome to step to the microphone, give us your name, your address. We ask you to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, and again, on topics, anything other than the community center.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Mr. Campbell?
Dr. Campbell, Hershey. I just want to bring up an issue. There have been some articles in the newspaper dated May 30th, and of course, you just announced you had another meeting for information on May 31st, which I'm just trying to get the review on that. My question to you is, since there is quite a controversy over interpretation of the law, I would like to strongly recommend that this board, in order to stay in good standing with the press and media, that instead of sending three or four supervisors to one of these information meetings, you send one, possibly two of the tops. That way, you're not in any violation of the Sunshine Act. And can you explain to me why it's necessary to have four at a meeting?
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Gamble, sometimes during certain issues, especially when we've been discussing the community center lately, it's been very important in order to keep the project moving that the supervisors are able to hear the same information at the same time, again, for informational purposes. And we believe through our council's advice and through our own understanding of the Supreme Court ruling that we have not been in any violation of the Sunshine Act. So it's in an effort to build greater awareness among our board members, and I understand what you're saying, and I think we certainly don't want to give anyone the impression that we've done anything to violate the Sunshine Act, but in order to do that information gathering, in order to eventually have good discussion in the public and make better decisions in the public, we have felt that it's been important on several occasions to do that.
Well, in strong support of my recommendation that the main players that are involved in these meetings, the quorum, all have an interest in the rec center. I'm thinking at this point, since the first deal didn't go right, that we assign one supervisor who can communicate. If one person can't come back and communicate to the rest of the board, then we're lacking in some form. So strongly recommending to eliminate any possibility of Sunshine violations, because somebody may say something out of line or cross over that line, and with four of you there, it's a violation. So I still don't understand why one person, two at the max, can't go and carry the information back. You have a big responsibility to this community. Transparency is important. Right now, that's in question. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Good
evening. Hi, I have some photographs for you guys just to try to follow along. My name is Curtis Kavinsky. My property is at 425 West Chocolate Avenue. First, I want to say good evening and thank you for allowing me the time to speak to you about my concerns on the 400 block of West Chocolate Ave. I spoke with Lauren Zimmerman, sorry if I put you here, and was assured that her committee and engineers will look into the matter, but I still feel compelled to address the board. First, thank you for all that you've done for the township and the positive changes. As a native of Hershey, class of 78, I've witnessed a lot. My business, Backyard Productions, Inc., is located at 425 West Chocolate, photos C&D. We produce quality video content for high-end clients. Due to the recent median change at the 500 block of West Chocolate and subsequent lane design changes, our block has lost about 7 to 10 on-street parking spaces and the shoulder of the road. This will prove to be a great hardship for businesses and residences located on the block, and we now only have 5 parking spaces for the entire block on westbound lane. Photo E illustrates the last legal parking stall as it relates to the remainder of the block. With the new design, the no parking from here to corner sign has been moved eastward approximately 136 feet. You can see that in photo one. You will also observe that the center line shifts from the eastbound lane and shifts into the westbound lane in order to make room for the parking stalls that are on the eastbound lane. If some of that eastbound parking was deleted, the center lane could be straightened to make more room for westbound parking and make that left turn lane on the Orchard a little more palatable. Also, the white triangles that are on both the east and westbound lanes are dead spaces. They are seen in photos 2, 3, 6, 7, and 8. The area of that wasted space exceeds 600 square feet, according to my calculations. In photo 2, you will see that the white line denoting the lane's edge diminishes into the curb, ending the shoulder and buffer prior to the intersection. You can see that in photos 4 and 5, and what that does is it creates no buffer for pedestrians or bicyclists at the intersection. So as a pedestrian, you can essentially step into moving traffic. If my clients or crew bring wardrobe and makeup, I need that parking. If I'm hauling equipment in and out of my business, I need that parking. I compete with some in the business who work under the table. I chose to run a legitimate brick and mortar business. The costs are high enough already with taxes, insurances, maintenance, and utilities. The last thing I need is for my customers not to be able to get to my door. Just recently, I had a customer in her 60s driven by her sister arrive at my business to find no parking. She panicked, she pulled off over the curb into the grass at my business and asked me where to park. I pointed to the new stalls. She drove around the block, but then pulled over the curb again into the yard. My client then opened the door to tell me that she just didn't have the strength to walk that far because she's undergoing chemotherapy. Now this is for a portrait session. This is for her, could be her last portrait. The sad thing is that just a couple months ago, she would have been able to park in front of our business, and she would have been able to for the past 30 years. The change of that intersection is incredible, and the impact to our neighborhood, to our block, is great. I trust that you will do the right thing. Please return our parking. Thank you. Do you have questions?
Kurt, thanks so much for coming.
Sure.
Talk about it. It's the intersection. We're not happy. I personally am not happy with how it turned out. And we've expressed this to our engineers, and we'll continue to look for some solutions.
Yeah, that median change, it really crunched the westbound lane on both the 400 and 500 block and created this expanse of a eastbound lane and eastbound turning lane that just seems over the top. And I haven't seen any other dead space wedges anywhere else in the township, and I've been looking at a lot of different left-hand turn lanes and such. You know, at Orchard and Para, or I'm sorry, Ridge and Para, they're just, you know, turn left. You know, there's no big landing strip. And, you know.
Yeah, thanks for
your time. Yeah, thanks for all that you do.
First of all, with those being the triangles, it makes it really tight. We have zero shoulder from my property onto the intersection. So for bikers, that is a challenge. For me mowing the lawn, I will say it's a bit precarious being that much closer to moving traffic than I have been in the past. Another oddity I noticed just in the way it's laid out, I just measured it today. I don't expect you guys to know this, but because I'm weird when my colleague measured it, I'll share it with you. The curb across the street from my building is is 4 inches high. The curb in front of my building is 3/4 of an inch. I don't know why that is, but I suspect it's going to cause some runoff or perhaps plowing issues. In addition to that lack of area across the curb, when I'm not really sure what to do come fall, usually hello leaves into the street that are then picked up, how plowing will work, it will present a bit of a challenge. The last thing I did check on Chaplet Avenue, the only spaces I found that didn't have a shoulder, as my property and some of my neighboring properties have, are the 4-lane areas of Chaplet Avenue. So just wanted to share those points. Thank you.
Reside at 279 East Canal Road, Hershey. I own property at 1091 Swatire Road. The reason I'm here today is I'm really concerned about the public safety of the traveling public, not only the residents of Derrick Township, but also neighboring communities, and also the many visitors that come to Hershey that follow their GPS, Sand Beach Road, Boathouse to 39. Boathouse is in terrible, terrible condition. I'm asking if there are any plans in the immediate future to address the deteriorating shoulder, the cartway, the potholes, anything at all.
Unfortunately, we can't affect the GPS. We sent people
right.
Lots of ways. So I'm going to turn to Bob to see if, Bob, maybe you know where Boathouse is on the list of repairs.
I know Tom Thorpe had worked something out with the board years ago on Boathouse and what happened to that. He still has Boathouse in his mind. We know it needs repaired. We're hoping that we can maybe reach an agreement with some of the entities that use the road. So he is aware of it, and if there are potholes in specific that you know of, call us and we'll get out there and fix them, and I'll have a crew look tomorrow.
I think it's beyond the potholes. The entire shoulder is gone.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that somebody's going to lose control. People are trying to move in the center of the road in order not to fall into the potholes. So it's a very, very dangerous situation right now. So I would hope that the board would take a look at it and try to address it as soon as possible, even if it's a temporary fix until the entities can agree upon some sort of monetary consideration among themselves.
It is a great point. And Marvel Shade and the shoulder is very dangerous.
Okay. Thank you.
I've got one of my kids over there a couple of times on the road. So.
Wow. Scary.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Bob, would you talk to Tom tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Thank you.
They look very nice with the red, but I don't think people are seeing them correctly. Maybe a white strip on either side of them, or
they have fucking white strips on either side of them.
Okay, because there was a handicapped person in a wheelchair trying to cross that border flower shop today, and there was some trouble there. So I thought that would really help them anyway. Okay, thanks.
Ryan Lane, 230 West Arriba. I've spoken out about the condition of the roads up the hill. The alleys in town are in terrible shape. There's potholes and crosswalks near St. Joan of Arc. Other people have spoken out tonight about the Boathouse Road. The Public Works Department only gets $2.7 million of the $18 million of the annual budget. However, Public Works is a critical function of this township. So I think funding it properly at more than 15% of the annual budget is appropriate. Tonight we're going to hear about special projects that this board is putting forth at much higher costs. And I think everyone in this room acknowledges that there's critical issues with our infrastructure, and not addressing them through proper funding is not going to solve those problems, no matter how long we wait for entities, whoever they might be, to come and
of through the budgeted monies each year. There are grants and programs and things like that. Could you talk about this for a moment, just so everyone understands?
Generally speaking, thank you, Madam Chair. Generally speaking, for road repair in any municipality, most of it is derived from liquid fuels funds that are collected throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Those funds are dedicated for two purposes, one for maintaining roads and other for purchasing road equipment only. Another avenue, travel service grant funding, which the township does take an active role in trying to secure grants for additional paving projects. And of course, lastly, general fund dollars can be allocated during the annual budgeting process for larger paving projects, you know, whether that's in the form of financing or whether that's in the form of cash balance that's within the budget. You know, those are your real options, you know, for finding funding sources. But primarily liquid fuels, you'll see from municipality to municipality, that's what they rely on mostly for, you know, paving projects. And of course, then the state roads that are within your municipality are covered by PennDOT.
Anyone else have any comments for this opening session of public comment?
Ferguson, Coil Hollow Road. I have a question concerning what we were just hearing here, but what would the entities have to do with repairing Boathouse Road?
The only time I've heard of entity involvement in Boathouse Road is because there's so much use of, you know, the sweep lights and certain views of the bypass. Their activities lend to so much traffic. That's the only thing I've ever heard contributed to. So, but I don't think saying that it has to wait until that. I think it's, you know, Tom Clark's not here tonight. He has a list, a schedule of what's scheduled to be approved over the coming years. And, you know, how things need attention.
So that's not one of the roads that we turned over to the Hershey Trust?
No.
Okay, so we still control that.